Heralds of Hope Incorporated presents Hope for Today. Hello, friend, and welcome to Hope for Today. My name is J. Mark Horst. I'm your friend and Bible teacher. The program you're listening to is produced by Heralds of Hope. We're an international gospel radio and literature ministry. Every week, the Bible teaching broadcasts of Heralds of Hope circle the globe in English and 14 other major languages. And our Bible teaching programs in a variety of languages are available to you all the time and anytime on our website, media.heraldsofhope.org. Thousands are logging onto that site each month for spiritual nourishment and blessing. And we invite you to join them so you can be blessed too. Like these listener responses to our Oromo language broadcasts to the country of Ethiopia. One listener called the radio station and gave this comment. I am calling to thank you for the blessing that the Heralds of Hope Oromo radio program has been to me over the years. I have been using, through the years, a compilation of the program as resource material when I need to prepare to speak on a certain subject or topic. They make good programs to edify and strengthen the believers in times of difficulty. Kindly thank those who have made it possible for us, and I pray that God will continue to bless you for your good work. And then here's another example of a response that came by text message. I thank God for the ministry of the Heralds of Hope radio program. I have been listening to your program regularly for almost a year. I testify that I have learned many things which I never knew before. It has made me to grow in grace, and with its insistence on the need of revival, I tell you that the fire is already in my bones and is spreading rapidly in our little congregation. In short, things are taking a new turn for the glory of God, so please keep me on your prayer list. And one more yet. I thank God so much for the Heralds of Hope Oromo language radio program. It has assisted us so much in our family to grow spiritually and in getting direction for our sermon preparation, especially now that we are involved in youth ministry in local villages. Please know that what you are doing in that office is worth it, and it is reaching many souls around the world. We are grateful. Continue to do the good work. Praise God, my friend, for these testimonies of His life-changing word. In the early 1900s, there was a Danish noblewoman, Baroness Blixen, who lived in Kenya as the owner of a large coffee plantation. And there was a tribe known as the Kikuyu that Blixen had grown to love. Some of the Kikuyu actually lived on the plantation that she owned. After World War I, financial obstacles caused the Baroness to lose the plantation where the Kikuyu lived. The new owner of the plantation wasn't concerned with these people at all. All he cared about was the land. So this meant the Kikuyu would be a tribe without a home. Now, Baroness Blixen didn't have the money to buy back the land that she had lost. So she took her cause to government agencies to try to help preserve the land of the Kikuyu tribe. But it was all to no avail. However, the Baroness didn't give up. She made a plan to take her passion for the Kikuyu tribe to a reception for the new governor of Kenya. And she was shameless in her endeavor. She disregarded protocol. She bypassed others in the crowd until at last she reached the governor. When she got before him, she fell on her knees and, grabbing his hand, pleaded for the Kikuyu. As you can imagine, some of the guests were embarrassed by her actions. They tried to get her up from her knees. But she continued to persist that the governor look into the matter, and she asked him to give her his word that he would do it. It was at that point where the governor's wife stood up and stated, "You have my word." Baroness Blixen had succeeded in her quest. Our study in Luke's Gospel brings us to the opening verses of chapter 18. These verses are closely connected with the ending of chapter 17, where Jesus is teaching about the coming kingdom of God. Now, you'll recall that Jesus used many parables in teaching the people. In fact, Matthew tells us in his Gospel, chapter 13 and verse 34, that he said nothing to them without a parable. Often, after giving a parable, Jesus would explain the meaning to his disciples in private. But the two parables Jesus uses in Luke chapter 18 are unusual in that we're told the meaning before the parable is given. In today's study, we'll focus on the first parable in verses 1 to 7. Keeping in mind that parables have only one primary meaning, I've titled our study, Pray and Don't Faint. So listen now as I read the text, Luke chapter 18 and verses 1 to 7. Then he spoke a parable to them, that men always ought to pray and not lose heart, saying, There was in a certain city a judge who did not fear God nor regard man. Now there was a widow in that city, and she came to him saying, Get justice for me from my adversary. And he would not for a while. But afterward he said within himself, Though I do not fear God nor regard man, yet because this widow troubles me, I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming she weary me. Then the Lord said, Hear what the unjust judge said. And shall not God avenge his own elect who cry out day and night to him, though he bears long with them? I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, will he really find faith on the earth? As I said in my opening comments, this parable is closely connected with the end of chapter 17. There, Jesus was describing the conditions that his followers would experience as they waited for the coming of the kingdom. Jesus' statements in chapter 17 indicate there would be a significant time lapse between his crucifixion, resurrection, ascension, and the establishing of his earthly kingdom. The first verse of our text reinforces that understanding, and because of this, there is a need for prayer and perseverance. In this parable, Jesus teaches us the need for prayer and perseverance in faith as we await the coming kingdom of God, and he uses three characters to open our understanding. The first character I've called the imperious judge. Now, before we look at the character of this judge, we need to understand the New Testament setting. And this is how Warren Wiersbe describes it. The courtroom was not a fine building, but a tent that was moved from place to place as the judge would cover his circuit. The judge, and not the law, set the agenda. And he sat regally in the tent, surrounded by his assistants. Anybody could watch the proceedings from the outside, but only those who were approved and accepted could actually have their cases tried. To make that happen, it usually meant bribing one of the assistants so he could call the judge's attention to the case. That's the end of Dr. Wiersbe's description. I believe these insights help us to understand the imperiousness of this judge that Jesus is talking about. Jesus went on to say this judge defied the vengeance of God and despised the opinion of men. Wow! What hope of justice did anyone have from this judge? He was domineering in a haughty manner. He was dictatorial and overbearing. Separating himself from God and truth meant that he had no objective standard for righteous judgment. Neither did any of the milk of human kindness motivate this judge in his deliberations. He was imperious, he was arbitrary, and he was capricious. Now, while the people of Jesus' day were familiar with unjust judges, this fellow was an extreme case. We must further examine this man's character, but in order to do that, we need to meet the next character in the parable. The second character is the importunate widow. To this imperious judge comes a woman, a widow. Weak, desolate, defenseless. In Israel, widows were the personification of dependence, of helplessness, and vulnerability. Now, the law of Moses gave specific prohibitions about taking advantage of a widow in any way. But that law was often ignored, even by the Pharisees who were supposed to be scrupulous in keeping it. We know from the wording in verse 3 and from the judge's response that she didn't just come to him once, she came again and again and again. Now, if what Dr. Wiersbe says is true, and I have no reason to doubt it, and she had to bribe the judge's helpers to get to the judge, she must have spent all or nearly all of her meager existence just to get his attention. She asked the judge repeatedly for protection from those who opposed her, but notice she didn't ask for their punishment. Here's why I believe that's significant. The widow in this parable represents the church. She is, in a sense, a widow because the bridegroom is gone. He's not here. You and I are awaiting his return. This is the context of the parable. Followers of Jesus are dependent on God for protection from those who have no fear of God. But because Jesus' followers know that judgment ultimately belongs to God, they don't call for vengeance. Instead, they cry out for protection and for relief. Now, let's see what happened. The judge says, "Because this widow is forever coming to me and nagging me, I will provide relief for her. If I don't, she may beat me down." Now, the word weary that's used by the Authorized Version is not a strong enough word. Hupo piazzo literally means to strike under the eye. It's used only one other place in the New Testament. In 1 Corinthians 9:27, Paul says, "I buffet hupo piazzo, my body." Some translators phrase it this way: "I will provide relief for her, lest at last she come and assault me." Now, whether the judge is literally worried that this woman is going to attack him physically, or whether he's exaggerating for effect, we can't really be sure. But one thing we do know: he didn't want a black eye, either literally or figuratively. He didn't want a stain on his reputation. So he decides he will give her the justice she seeks. My friend, I hate to interrupt, but we're almost out of time for today's broadcast. Lord willing, we'll be back next week to continue our study. In the meantime, if you'd like to have an audio CD or a printed copy of this complete teaching, just write and request it by its title, "Pray and Don't Faint." Now, the quickest way for you to contact us is to send an email to hope@heraldsofhope.org. That email address again is hope@heraldsofhope.org. Or you may write to Hope for Today, Box 3, Breezewood, Pennsylvania, 15533. Remember, you can request a printed manuscript or an audio CD of this teaching, "Pray and Don't Faint." I'd be happy to send one to you. Once again, the quickest way for you to contact us is to send an email to hope@heraldsofhope.org. Or you may write to Hope for Today, Box 3, Breezewood, Pennsylvania, 15533. Remember, you can request a free copy of this teaching, "Pray and Don't Faint." It's available either in print or on an audio CD. And don't forget, our Bible teaching programs are available to you all the time and anytime on our website, media.heraldsofhope.org. That's media.heraldsofhope.org. Now, friend, I urge you to tune in next week as we continue our study, "Pray and Don't Faint." And until then, keep looking for that blessed hope.